that commandment that says, "Thou shalt not covet." Did you ever preach on that? Did you ever preach a whole message on "Thou shalt not covet"? Amen. Did you ever just take the Bible and just and say, "Now I don't want to preach to anybody else. I like to preach to myself." And I'd like to read this, and I wonder if this is talking to me. You know, so many times we got messages talking to everybody else. But once in a while, you know, you got to preach a message to you, to yourself, you know. And you say, "Well, Brother Wood, the commandments are not in operation today." Well, I see that. I see that. You don't have to tell me, but I see that. Amen. But if God intended you to break the commandment that "Thou shalt not covet," why did he put verse 15 here and said, "And he said to him, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." Now, the Bible, I believe when God gives us those principles over in the Old Testament, and he'll come over here in the New Testament and show you exactly the spirit of the thing. Amen? And covetousness has a spirit. And you can have the victory over that thing and operate in your life and God use you. And I'd like to say this, even in church circles, we teach people that it's fine to want and desire to have everything we can get our hands on. And I mean work 14 to 15 hours a day to get it. And bless God, when you get it, give it to a bunch of stupid kids and let them waste it. I mean, that is what you're supposed to do with it. Now say hallelujah. Amen. 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 We was coming down the highway, and I asked a man something today, and I said, how much would it take to just take care of that? He said, $17,000. He said, "Whew," you know, to himself. And I said to myself, I wonder why this brother here is a dear brother, my dear friend, he's right in his service. I said, "You know, that sounds like a lot of money until you start to buy a car." I'm talking about a Chevrolet. I mean, a Toyota, if you please. Amen. A Toyota, if you please. I mean, you know, the guy I've done Pearl Harbor. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. All right. Amen. 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 Beware of covetousness. Beware. He didn't say don't do it. Beware of it. It's just the spirit of that thing will move in your life. Let me say this. This can be very operative in your life, and people are teaching today if you have enough faith that you can get more. In other words, if you've got enough faith, you can be covetous. You can go home and talk about what you want to buy, and you can pray and ask God, and man, you can get everything you want. But the same Bible, the same principles carry over in the New Testament, crucified. I mean, why pray about what you want when you tell God you don't want it? You said, "What I'd like to have, Brother Wood," I've heard people say this. I said, "I'd like to have me a 3-bedroom home out on the mountain in North Georgia." Well, what if you had it and God called you to China and you never could live in it? Then you'd have to get over in China and let me go home and live in my 3-bedroom house. And here comes this little guy by and say, "Have faith, man, have faith, sir. You'll get it." Amen. Y'all do your head like this, all right? We'll get around here in a minute. And the Bible says in verse 16, "And he spake a parable, and saying, the ground of a certain rich man did brought forth plentiful. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." Now, that's one thing I wouldn't have any problem. I hate fruits. But he said unto them, "This will I do, I'll pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and I will bestow all of my fruits." No. A lot of Baptist churches have done that. That's got as serious this thing is. I mean, man, we got to have a laugh. Ain't you got a sense of humor? You tell a pull out joke now, and people get mad and say, "Oh man, I want you to this guy's raised prejudice." I got a guy coming to my church. He's as black as coal, and he's 6'6" tall, weighs 260 pounds. And I told a black joke to him in the pulpit, me and him, I was talking to him, amen, amen. I said some few nice things about Martin Luther yesterday, and he said right there, it didn't bother him, he got a sense of humor, amen. He didn't know I really meant it, amen. Verse 19, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? Your food. Your food. I'd like to speak tonight just an hour and a half or 2 hours on selfishness. Amen. Just a short line. I taught this in Sunday school last Sunday, so I thought it was good enough in my Sunday school class, it's good enough for you. Amen? If my Sunday school teacher, them old ladies can take it, you'll have to take it. Amen. Selfishness deals with regards to one's own interest. That's that supreme self-love. Did you ever go in missionary and start telling somebody about what God wanted you to do and the needs, and they start telling you about how that they needed to have another building, and you went over Wednesday night and had 36? I will tell you tonight, if you're a preacher here tonight and you're stupid enough to build a Sunday morning crowd, a building for them to be nice, comfortable, to sit down in, you are stupid. You are eat up with backwoods, East Texas ignorance. Amen? That's right. If I'm going to build anybody in fact, I'm going to build a Wednesday night crowd or something. Amen? And whatever they need, let's get that Wednesday night crowd to stay with you and praise with you and give and leave the church. Hey, whatever they need, give it to them. And whatever that other crowd needs, give it to them. Amen. So a man came in and had a handle on his Bible. I'm always scared of him, guy had a handle on his Bible. It looked like his wrist was broke, and he come in, and he wasn't no place to sit in the church Sunday morning. It was a second seat. Him and his wife sat down there, and somebody waved a hand like this, and that guy was in total shock. This guy kind of figured after about 20 of them got to shouting over the old rugged cross. I mean, this man, he was just, man, he wanted to leave, but he's embarrassed. He didn't want to walk out right in the middle of service, and so then when I got up and preached on the old-time religion, then he knew he was in the wrong place. Amen. He knew he was in the wrong place. But I want to speak to you tonight on this selfishness, because I believe that selfishness is the essence of depravity, and I mean it's totally in opposition to the love of God. What you and I want, you cannot satisfy that flesh. You cannot satisfy your wants and desires. This old man here tell you tonight, You can feed it and feed it and feed it and try to satisfy it, but God said crucify it. There ain't nothing you can do to your flesh but crucify it and say, no, you can't have it. That's the reason Junior just comes in and says, can I have it? Can I have it? No, 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 no. No, you so finally, boy, just get out of my hair. There it is. And they just worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And just that's the reason we don't have any problem in Mexico. We just have a great harvest. 21, 22, that's right, but don't 25-year-old men preaching the Bible, getting people saved. I mean, they can relate to the people because they don't want nothing. I asked a lady here a while back, Sam was with me, Brother Sam was out there with me. I said, if you could have anything in the world tonight, if you know, Miss Sam and I was sitting in her home, and their home might have been this wide and just this square corner here. And we're sitting in this nice home, three children. Boy is a computer mechanic in Mexico. Well-dressed people, very poverty, what you and I call poverty. For this concern, they're rich. And I said, you don't have a car, you don't have a bicycle, you don't have none. You've been in the pastor's church 12 years. If you could have, lady, anything in the world that we could, that you could want, what would it be? She said, well, I really don't want nothing. I really don't. I don't guess she ever had nothing, so she didn't want nothing. And finally I said, is there anything in the world? She said, "Yeah, I'd like to." She said, "You know one of them wringer type washing machines?" She said, "Man, if I just had one of them to keep my kids' clothes clean." So me and Sam, we went down and bought her one. And if you had one, you know what you'll say? "Honey, please, please buy me one of them that does it automatically." But see, she'd had a little board with them nails bent over it, and she'd been doing a missile way so long. I mean, that really sounded nice. But if you don't care, if you're not careful, that spirit will just move in, and nothing in this world will satisfy you. Now, I want to say something about selfish tonight. It is harmful to your family. It'll not help your family whatsoever. They'll just get whatever you want to. The Bible said, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, beware of it, watch it, get away from it, leave it alone, it'll hurt you." It is harmful to your family. Now, it'll disappoint your family. The Bible said, "He that loveth silver and gold shall not be satisfied." He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied. As a man killed his wife in our town last week, and then he killed his 14-year-old daughter, and then he stuck a gun and blowed his brains out. I think he had to shoot 3 times. It is, but he killed himself too. This man made $257,000 a year, I read in the Houston paper. This man was the focus of the family in the Second Baptist Church. He took care of how to keep your family together and how to train your family and everything. And they said he'd been 10 years being counseled by the Second Baptist Church, one of them fundamental Southern Baptist Churches. It's a fundamental, I mean fundamental. And this man been dealt with 10 years for battering his wife, and last April he cut one of his wife's ears off. Mm-hmm. It's in the paper. And then for 10 years the church had dealt with him as an alcohol dependent. He wasn't a drunk, he's an alcohol dependent. And then his wife and daughter, they shipped their body back, her mom and dad did, and buried her in East Texas, and they brought his body down in the Second Baptist Church and buried him as a member of that church. You say, "What are you doing in a situation like that?" I ask your fella, he's a missionary on this board. His uncle died, and I said, "Everybody here knows old Harold Atwood went to hell. And if you follow him, you're going with him." He had a brother. Harold Atwood had a brother, a big rancher out in Oklahoma. Come up like this, got a horse and broke his leg. And he said, "Did you say Harold went to hell?" I said, "As straight as the Indian, they went to his wigwam." He told his brother, said, "Give this preacher a check for $100. He said, "It's the first time in my life I ever heard a preacher tell the truth at a funeral." He said, "If anybody went to hell," he said, "that perverted brother of mine went to hell. And God saved Joe Pilla and his wife out of that funeral." You listening tonight? Beware, beware. You said, "Brother, why did that preacher let that go on in his church? Covetousness." See, I can figure out right quick, that's $27,500 a year tithe. Oh, Brother Wood, you're just skeptical. No, I'm serious. Amen. Amen. It will be harmful to your family. Greed rules in a family. It'll bring confusion and criticism and every kind of wickedness in the world if it's allowed in that home. Now, we're not raising. You say, "Well, you're not supposed to say raising." Well, if what you're doing, you're raising hogs, and some of them act like hogs. So when we raise our children, we're not raising children that deny themselves. Because they don't see us deny ourselves. You hear me? Just stay with me. Selfishness is ruling in the Baptist Church. And it's harmful. It's harmful to your family. It'll divide your family just like it did Abraham and Lot. And they said, "Man, oh God, bless them in cattle. They said, "Man, we've got to have more land, more grass. We don't care about grace. Give us grass so we can have some more." How much would it take to satisfy you? You cannot satisfy a man that is covetousness. It'll divide the family. It'll destroy the family's aching to his family. He said, "I saw that Babylonian garment, that wedge of gold, and I took it and put it in my house, in his tent. And most time when that covetousness rules in our life, it's usually right in the middle of that house where it just rules and rules and rules. Amen and amen and amen. I've seen missionaries that have been on the field 25 years would become critical, become ugly, become nasty toward the people that they were ministering to, because that woman knew in her heart that those people were the cause of her not having and her children not having what she wanted them to have. Now you just say amen. You might as well just say amen. And sometimes children said, "Oh, bless God, I'll never marry a preacher." You know why? Because it draws a grain against covetousness. The sword is loud against covetousness and desire and having and wanting. And I was raised up and I had to wear my sister's dress. It didn't hurt you.
I'll tell you the little girl that got hurt, the one that her grandma bought her 27 every week. I said it's harmful to the family.
You say, how do you know, preacher? Look at Achan. He stoned his whole family. I mean, what he did, his family suffered for it. His wife suffered, his children. Everybody suffered for his sin. It's not only harmful, but it's hurtful to the work of God. We find in 2 Peter 2:15 about Balaam. And Balaam, he said, "Let me go over and do this." And God said, "No." "Let me go over and do this." Oh, God said, "No." But he went and did it anyway. I could hear him as he's going over that. He said, "You know, that's a bigger field, and that's a bigger opportunity, and they got a bigger auditorium, and the pay's bigger. I've got a better opportunity. I believe I'll go over that." I'm going to tell you something. If you're not careful, you'll be just like Balaam. There's been times in my life that thing just came. You said, "Brother Wood, I've never been tempted." God will forgive you of lying just like with anything else. I mean, you know, sometimes people come and say, "Now listen, we got a church over here, and we've got a beautiful parsonage, you know, and I mean, just, you know, don't take your family over there, because, I mean, they'll start picking out rooms before God ever says you can have it." Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Oh, it's hurtful to the work of God. It causes people to do the unreasonable. There's some things that you just cannot reason out in the Word of God. This man here is building barns and barns and barns and building, putting more food in there and more food in there and more grain in there, whatever he's putting in there. And, I mean, it makes no sense at all. He never stopped to pray and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, would you help me to..." And Josephus said there was people lived in that town 38 years old and never ate a square meal in their life. You and I said, "Boy, I'll tell you one thing, a man like that's wicked." Jesse Jones used to get up at Christmas in my town and throw silver dollars out to little old Mexican kids out there and fight over them. He'd go out there and get drinking. He'd go out to his mule barn and just throw the silver dollars over and then Mexican hands would get out on their hands and digging, trying to get one silver dollar because he had to work all week long to get a dollar. And when he died, they backed the dump truck up there and they got the shovels and sacked it up in River Oaks, Texas. And River Oaks, which is right inside of Houston, $258,000 in silver dollars, and they shoveled him in there while they're shoveling dirt in his face while he went to hell. You said, what a horrible sin. It ain't near as horrible as a preacher that's governed and ruled or a missionary by money. A man said to me the other day, he said, "Brother Wood, 2 months ago," he said, "God called me. And he said, God wants me to go full time into prison." Bobby Cox. And I said, "Bobby..." He said, "Preacher, you know, I've always worked. I make $650 a week." And I said, "Bobby, money will be your release to your problems. There won't be any problem at all. You won't have any. So you won't have to worry about it. That'll be the least of your problems." And he came to me the other day, and his wife took 6. She's now been in intensive care nearly 30 days. They told us this week that they're going to have to cut off every one of Kathy's fingers, one of the best women I ever pastored, and cut off every one of her fingers, right up at the second knuckle there. Right up the knuckle, cut them every one off, and her feet turned black because of a high fever. And he said, "You know, Brother Jack," he said, "I went in and I told Kathy, we ain't never had nothing. We put it all in the middle for the Lord's work." And she raised that little crippled hand up and said, "Bobby, whatever God wants to do, I'll let it roll." Yeah. 13 years that woman been saved. I mean, got saved in Shady Acres Baptist Church, and God put his hand on that woman, and that man and woman come in our church the other day, Christmas Day. Went home, told his daughter, "Lost man, he's a brother-in-law to Joe Pillar, big as Joe Pillar." He went home and said, "You know what we need around this house? We need a home like the Cox's has got. We need in this home a faith like the Cox's has got.
You say, that make you feel good, not make me feel horrible. Because I've known him 15 years. What made you feel so horrible? I got that woman, got a couple of little kids, people drop off at him. She gets $25, $30, take care of them, pays her kids' school bill, just works. Goes in there and fixes cookies and everything. We've got a little board in there, got 15 or 20 kids in there every once a week in there teaching them. And she'll come down every now and then and say, Brother Wood, I'd like you to meet this young lady right here. She just received Christ as her Savior, and I'd like for you to meet her. Not wanting a thing in the world. Old Bobby said, honey, I just don't know what we can do. And she just laughed. And she said, Bobby, you was an old drunk, and you trusted God to save you, and you tell me you can't trust him over a few bucks a week. What in the world has that got to do with it? That woman's been an encouragement to that man. I said it'll be hurtful to the work of God. It'll cause people to be unreasonable. Man said the other day, coming up the road today, and Victor said to me, said that man went to that church, been there about a year. Said he built a 55 by 150 long building. I said, what for? He said, I was trying to figure that out myself. Hmm? I asked Brother Jones tonight. I said, Brother Jones, I remember you come to me one time morning. Brother Gene and them, we all drawing some plans and talking about plans and building y'all a gymnasium. I said, would you please tell me, because I'd said something to Victor about it. I said, has that gymnasium ever been a blessing to your church? He said, no. It's kept them from tearing up the auditorium. They said, it never has been a blessing at all. Well, how come y'all say amen there? You said, I was just fixing to build me a gymnasium. Well, I'd look up the word before I built anything. The word gymnasium says naked. You don't know what it says in the Greek? Huh? The gymnasium ain't in the King James Bible, but it is in the dictionary, and the Greek word for gymnasium is naked, and that's why you see everybody in the gymnasium naked. And this thing always bothers me. Why is it wrong to go to school with a pair of shorts on and not dress right, and it's all right to do it in the gymnasium? That thing always bothered me. That thing always bothered me. And you see the teacher come out of the gymnasium, and he's got a pair of Bermuda shorts on, and no hairy legs, look like toothpicks stuck in a watermelon. Then he came out of the gymnasium, here comes the car, there. Walking over there. And he said, now what you doing with your britches cut off? And he said, I've been to the gymnasium. Gymnasium gives you a priority to do that which is wrong. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Yeah. How'd I get off on that, huh? It was easy. Why send out missionaries? Why build a work of God? Build a gymnasium. This dumb master here telling me about the gymnasium today. He rolled his window down and said, I went to gymnasium. Amen. You ride me 14 hours, you get out of that mood. Amen. Amen. I said it's hurtful. Now just, Victor, I know God knows, I know you didn't have no intention to do anything like that, but you know, little old Loopy is right down the street. And y'all went down and you took him down there, Victor. And he was saved under your ministry and called to preach. We got him a guitar, a little money. And you got him a acre of land, or a lot rather, and you got him out there, and you got 25 chairs. He got 25 chairs out in the opening. And he has every one of them filled up every Sunday. So it just looks like to me, we'll be trying to get a roof over Lucy instead of a gymnasium. What's Lucy going to do with that charity? Well, that's Luffy's business. That ain't none of my business. No, it is some of your business. Since he be your brother, it's some of his business, some of my business, some of all my business. And every missionary goes out of here, it's everybody's business. You say, I thought it was Brother Holmes. Well, that's what I'm trying to help you. It's hurtful to the work of God. It causes God's people to refuse to be reasonable. It won't be reasonable. You say, hey, brother, wait just a minute. Man stood up in his church out there and he said, we need this bus. Our youth needs to go here. And they took up $56,000 on a Wednesday night. I know the man personally. I go in his office occasionally, see him there in Houston, he's a pastor. It took up $56,000 and bought him a bus to haul a bunch of kids.
Wow.
And we're going to go down to Dallas and see something, whatever they call that thing. What do they call that over there? The seven flags, the eight flags or something? And we're going to entertain them children, because that's what God called us to do. I mean, we're ministers of the Lord. And what we're doing is out entertaining everybody's children. Now, I'm not against entertaining the children, but God didn't call the Church of God to entertain your children. Hey, Daddy, that's your business. Hey, Mama, that's your business. My business is to preach the hell out of them. Amen? Yeah. Oh, that's what my business is. My business is to get right with God. Amen? My business is getting this church with 53 men tagged tonight down on their knees pleading with God, begging God to do something with them children. Hey, that ain't my job to entertain your children. Hey, the church ain't no entertainment business. Selfish. I remember the first time I went to Myrtle, Mississippi back in the 56, 57. Went down there to go to camp meeting. We sat out on the highway, me and Brownie Rogers hitchhiking. We crossed the ride and went to Myrtle. Nowadays, you know, you tell people you're going to Brother Homer's. How many is going in the car? Are we going to be cramped up in it? One preacher always tells me, I've been going to this 13 years. I've slept in the Sunday school room. I've slept in everything that church has got but the toilet. And just about time he'd get about 100 miles out of Houston, every time he'd come out here, he'd call me and he'd say, you know, Brother Wood, my wife is kind of funny. And my wife is kind of funny. And she, you know, Brother Wood, she just don't like to stay in anybody's home. Shoot on you and your wife, both. Oh, my wife, who just couldn't stay in anybody's home. Man, I got 40 homes running down here, some of the godliest people in the world. Man, it's a privilege to stay in Carl Wright's house. It's a privilege to stay in Bobby Cox's house. Well, man, it's a privilege to stay in Damon Smith's house. I mean, just go by the house, and the man, they got eyes box full, and old Damon, he done killed 3 or 4 deer, you know. And the other day, some of them guys out there, he went and got an armadillo and said, man, what are you going to do? He said, well, we got him, we're going to eat him. I mean, you just meet some wonderful people. But, oh, Brother Wood, I mean, man, we have got to have us a place. One guy called me. I know. That's old man. I've been around enough. I have preacher friends come, they're sick, their wives are sick. And I know, man, I got sense enough to take care of people. But I just call people from the freeway and tell them, hey, just take a lift. Come around down my house right here. Man, I got, oh, no, Brother Wood, I my wife just wouldn't want to come in your house. Well, sleep on the street, you old nut. God, I invited you. You don't sleep. You slept out, haven't you? That's a pretty good place to stay. And bless God, that woman, she can cook. Amen? Yeah, she can cook, buddy. Yeah, 34 preachers called me a while back, broke down. They said, Brother Wood, we don't know what to do. I said, just take a left off the freeway. Come right down here. We'll have something. I told her, I said, 34 preachers coming. She said, okay. She went out there in the ice box, and she got this, that, and the other, and said, all in. And an old rich man said, my soul, how in the world that woman get all that ready? Her brothers were coming! I wouldn't do my wives like that. It might be a blessing to her. Yeah, let me be a blessing to her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to preach on what we're going to do now. That's your own death. Selfishness. It's a hurtful to the work of God. 25 years ago, I told Brother Mel Rudder, he spoke in my church, and I said, Brother Mel, well, we already supported. I said, I'm gonna double your support. And he said, he looked down the floor and shook his head, and he said, Brother Jack, he said, me and you been friends a long time, 10 years, then, 35 now. He said, could you
just send that money to Gerald Rose. He said, man, he needs it. He said, man, he needs it. There was a selfish bone in that man's body. He said, Brother Wood, if you just send that to him, and I'll start supporting him. Yeah. Anytime he's been in my church, and I said, Miller, do you have any need, or could we help you? I know Brother Wood, but if you've got extra money, let me tell you about a boy in Peru. Let me tell you about a boy in China. And he always had somebody. So me and him were personal friends, and he would share that with me. Wasn't a drop of covetousness in that man's heart. That's why God used him. And used him and used him and used him. You listen to me? It becomes a hindrance to the church of God. The church today is an investment business. We bought our church, $1 million church, and we bought that church on that crash market 3 years ago for $350,000. And when we paid him cash for it, this guy said, we're going to invest that money. And the BMA invested that $350,000. And the head man in Houston told me the other day, we signed about 2 acres of land off of him, and he said, we invested that money and lost every dime of it. He said, Brother Wood, I was telling those men that we didn't need to invest that money, we need to put that money in the work of God. And they said, oh, yes, but just look how much interest it's going to draw. And we're going to put in this concern right over here, and it's going to make fabulous. He said, we ain't got one dime of that $350,000. So I tried to buy 2 acres of land, they said, we got to pay 10% interest. And he said, hey, why don't we get out of the interest business? This man just spoke up, head man. He said, why don't we get out of the interest business? He said, last time we was in the interest business, it cost us $350,000. Mm-hmm. All right, you get in on this, man. But it's a hindrance. This will be a hindrance to any church. The church of today is an investment business, and it's out of the evangelization business. And the only evangelism really a lot of churches like is whatever's coming in our back door. I mean, they just can't rejoice over them letters, guys writing from China, where we had 2 saved, 1 saved, 3 saved, or none saved, you know, whatever. And God doing the work, that just can't rejoice over that. Isn't that something? Selfishness is a monster. It's a monster. And I want to say this. The church has not got God on her because of selfishness. Now, you can't break God's law, Brother Jones, and say, Lord, I'd like to talk to you. No. See, you couldn't go out and kill a man and come down here and just say, now, Lord, I'll tell you, what, wasn't much to it. You know, this monkey need to be shot. And I've got 2 or 3 down in these 2, but I mean, you know, you just can't do that. You know, you just can't go out and say, well, you know, this other commandment here says, I shall not commit adultery. But, you know, God knows that we're all sinful. We got, you know, just commit a little bit. And so, you know, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you. You know, hokey pokey, ringy rokey. Yeah. Well, how about the sin of covetousness? Is it just as powerful?
Yeah.
Brother Farley and I was talking about something the other day, and a man that we knew, and his wife had went there to try to help out in this situation, went hundreds and hundreds of miles, and they were not preachers or anything, but I said, Brother Farley, this man, his wife said, this boy is a fine man. Would you listen to me? He said he was a fine man. She's just a good man, Sunday school teacher, deacon in a church. And I told Danny, I said, the first thing he did, he coveted his neighbor's wife. Number 2, he stole his neighbor's wife. Number 3, he committed adultery with his neighbor's wife. And I believe that's breaking 3 commandments. And then he lied about the whole mess. I believe that's 4 of the 10 that was broken in that one act. When he's a nice guy, we got to make him the chairman of the board of deacons. Because we might get a preacher in here, don't know what he's doing, and he'd tell him what to do. But that young man and Danny Farley graduated out of school together. And they fought for the grades to see who would be the best, just neck and neck, all the way through school. And he told Danny Farley, he said, all I want is money, money, money. And tonight, he's got the money. His home lay shattered, and his dreams and everything he's got lay shattered. Bankruptcy hanging right on the doorpost. Amen. Amen. Or you just listen to me now. I'm just trying to tell you that God does not permit covetousness in 1989. You said it's all right. It's all wrong. I will tell you tonight, it is as wicked as any other sin in the Bible. Because when you covet money, you'll covet what it'll buy. And when you covet what it'll buy, you'll covet somebody's neighbor, somebody's wife, somebody's manservant, somebody's manservant. It won't stop with money, honey. That man had a $257,000 job. It didn't stop with liquor. It didn't stop with money. It didn't stop with women. It made a monster out of that man. He said, just beat his wife on top, cut her ear off, and everything in the world, and time to take a shotgun and blow one of the sweetest 14-year-old girls you ever seen in your life away. I said, he'd make a monster out of you. You let that sucker get down inside of you and begin to eat. And eat and eat and eat. You said, I don't want anything. You might be a missionary sitting right here tonight, and it's just got a hold of you, just eating you alive. I go in people's home all the time, and they just sit down and say, Brother Wood, if this church just had, if I had $60,000, if I had $60,000, if I had 60 people, we'd give $1,000 apiece. Oh, Brother Wood, we'd be out of debt. And then if we're out of debt, Brother Wood, what we could do, we could go in debt. We could build this. We could build a church that had not had a rent in 4 months. Brother Danny Fowler was in that church, walked in that church. His wife taught school there and couldn't pay the rent. And he come graduation for the young people. And he didn't have but 7. And he went down and bought a new van where they could haul them to Florida. And my son graduated my school. And I said, Jeff, where did y'all stop Wednesday night and go to church? He said, well, Dad, the deacon was driving the church. He said, they didn't stop. I said, where'd y'all go Sunday morning, Jeff? Independent, fundamental. Narrow piece of literature and call the man's name, you'd have a heart attack. Biggest church in America, super church in America. Dr. Bob Grace down in Florida said, if I was in Houston, Texas, I'd sure be a member of this church. But Dr. Bob just don't know. Never gave a dime to mission since it's been there. One of the men come from their church, come over to our church and spoke, and we took him over, was going to take him over to mission, and we called the church and said, is this a good man? Said, one of the best men we got. We said, does this man tithe and win fold? Oh, yes, sir, one of the finest men we got in this church. I said, do you support him? No. Well, we intend to. Surely intend to. Because he'd have been buying in vans. And you keep buying in vans, keep buying in vans, keep buying in vans, before you know it, they'll have you in one. I'm telling you, covetousness is, you know, the average young preacher takes a church and he just walks around in that church and said, I wonder what we need in this church. I wonder what we need to buy. And he just walks around. They ain't got a dime in the world. Now, Brother Danny, what is the law of finances? You got to have more coming in. You got going out. And if you ain't got nothing left over, don't buy nothing. Is that the law of finances? That's not the way I speak. If you ain't got nothing, don't buy nothing. Now, every nickel that I got in the world, I got it right here in my pocket. See it right there in my pocket? I got it right here in my pocket. That's every nickel I got in the world, I carry it in my pocket. I might want to buy something. I might want to give it away. I carry it in my pocket. Do you have a bank account? I don't need no bank account. I don't know how to write. I got it right here in my pocket. I don't have any problem reaching it up, putting it in an offering plate. Amen. He said, Brother Homer took up offering. I believe I'll give an offering. Well, that'll buy 2 coats for somebody. Hey, them ain't for offering place. All right, thank you. You all crucify the flesh?
Yeah.
Next time you get a 1, and don't get no change. Just get, when you reach in and you get a 1, no, that's a 100. That's what you do. See? If we, don't put the 1 in there, put the 100 in there. You said, where'd you get that? Somebody gave it to me. I wonder where I did get it.